this morning's gospel reading, from the Gospel of Luke, is the story of the visitation of Elizabeth and Mary. And I would like to do it in two parts. I'm not going to do the whole thing because I want to stop in the middle and make a comment before I read the last part of it so that it has a little bit more of a, punch. You know this gospel very well. But perhaps there's something that we can do with it that may make it a little bit fresh. In those days, Mary set out and went in haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The Gospel of the Lord. We have all heard this story many times, and I think as we listen to it again, it becomes so much a part of our tradition that we tend sometimes to lose sight of really what the human people in the Gospels really experienced. Knowing ahead of time that Elizabeth is pregnant 6 months already, and that's because her husband had a vision while he was in the temple in chapter 1, about the birth of John the Baptist. So in the story, she's aware of what's going to happen. And Mary, of course, in the chapter just before the verses just before this one, has had an announcement from the angel about what is going to happen to her, and suggesting that she might carry a child even though she is unmarried would be okay because it is of the Holy Spirit, and the child to be born would be Son of God. Wouldn't it be nice if we all knew what our lives were going to hold? I cannot help but read this gospel story and think, if every one of us were given some kind of a vision or some kind of a forecast of what our lives would be, of the people who would come into our lives, of the events that would take place in our lives, of the challenges we would face, always with the assurance that God is making this happen, that God would take care of it. Wouldn't life be much less anxiety-filled and fear-filled and surprised? The truth is, I think, as I approach the Gospels in my old age, more and more I'm liking to look at the Gospels from the human perspective. Let's take for a moment divine out of this. Elizabeth is with child after being barren her whole life. She now is with child in her later years, it says. That in itself has to be a challenge. Having children at an older age, those of you who have had children or had anything to do with rearing children, know what happens to your energy level. Your patience, your understanding, your flexibility. And given the complexities of today, with all the schedules that we have for our children, from the time they enter their first social group, banging on drums and beating on each other, all the way through the toddler years, and all the things that we have to do for them to make sure that they have the best brain development, emotional development, social development, and all the other developments that we come up with that keep us running from one place to the next, multiply the children, and you're going in 10 different directions all at the same time. Do it as an older person. I don't think it was very different in the time of Elizabeth. And had she not known ahead of time, as the gospel suggests, imagine what her life would have been like, bringing a newborn into the world probably in her 70s. Now go to Mary. Mary fortunately had the angel telling her what was going to happen. Did you ever pray to have a vision? Somebody to kind of tell you a little bit about what was happening in your life? If Mary did not have that and found herself pregnant, in her society, very different from our society today, in her society, she would be stoned. And if she were not stoned for committing some kind of adultery with somebody, who would always go off scot-free, by the way, regardless of who he was, she would have to survive on her own, because in that culture, women didn't have any status. Interestingly, I was just reading in the paper this morning that there are immigrants coming in from other countries and going into Norway, and Norway has started a program. This is just a little aside. Norway has started a program to try to teach the men of the culture who are coming over, and it is mostly men coming over, that women are more to be respected than they were in their own culture. They're calling it sex education, because women are seen only as sex objects in those cultures. The culture in which Mary lived was very much the same. You were an object of sex, and pretty much that's it. If you could do domestic duties, that was a help. But you're only there really to feel, give the pleasure to a guy. And so she is pregnant, now has the responsibility of a child. And she has no support system, no way of keeping alive, no way of taking care of her baby. And she's probably a teenager, at least according to the records. There's no birthright. There's no Planned Parenthood. There's no WIC program. There's no assistance on any level. These two people did something remarkable as human beings before it becomes gospelized in their own culture. And what they ended up doing, both of them accepting their situation however they could, one realized that her son born became a prophet that changed many people's lives. And the other one discovered as her son aged that he was called a Messiah by a lot of people, a hoped-for savior of Israel. Why I think that's important, especially for us, is because of this. Have you ever given any thought to the effect you have had on the world? Most of us don't recognize too often, at least not moment to moment, that we do indeed affect the world we touch. Many times in our speaking with each other, with our ability to do things for other people, or just by rubbing shoulders with people day by day, we have an effect. Even though we're not aware, people watch us. They see something in us, and I often wonder what they see. The truth is, you and I, very much like John the Baptist and Jesus, have an effect on the world. Not so much because of what we accomplish, but by our presence. No one of us will probably be memorialized as world-changing, or as some kind of individual whom others must model their lives after. But just look in your day. Each one of us, pause and just look at your day and ask yourself, how many people have you touched today? If you go to the store, you're touching people. If you walk on the street and people see you, you're affecting their lives. If you speak to anybody, you affect their thinking, you challenge their process, or maybe you help them and support them through something that they felt alone in. You don't have to become a missionary, nor do you have to have a degree in theology. Just an appreciation that living your life matters to everybody whose lives we touch. And that's why it's so important for us to remember that each one of us has a gift, that each one of us is a presence in the world. And we do. We do. We definitely do affect the world we touch, for better or for less. The second part of this gospel I save to now, because if you take it out of the context of the gospel and see Mary as a teenage girl facing whatever she's going to face, but in her own faith, speaks some very powerful words. In fact, these words were forbidden to be read in Argentina for many, many, many years because they were seen as politically subversive and desperately against everything that the communist policy involved. I think these words are very powerful for us in our day as we go into another political situation. And as we look at the world around us and have to deal with the threats from outside and immigration and all the social problems we are having right now. These are words that come from the Old Testament, from the book of Samuel, part of them from Hannah, the mother who had a child in her old age who became the first Old Testament prophet, Samuel. But these words apply in Jesus' time, but also very much more powerful today. If we hear a person like you and me looking at her life and saying, God does have something to do with my everyday. And so Mary said, my whole being magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on me, the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy is for all those who seek him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his people Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Every day I learned as a child, and to this very day I continue. Every day I begin the morning, somewhere in the morning when I become conscious, to say a very simple little prayer. The prayer is simply, Holy One, I dedicate this day to you. And I don't do that because I'm a religious fanatic or I'm a clergy person. I did it even as a kid. because I learned that it kept me mindful all day, every moment of the day, of how I was affecting the world. And I'm not sure what effect I have made upon the world, but I do find comfort in many times repeating in the course of a day, especially when I'm challenging or something is coming up that is scary or anxiety-provoking. And I go back to, Holy One, I dedicate this day to you. It doesn't make miracles, but it helps me focus on what is important. Because if I am that way with you, I am that way in God. And if I am in that way in God, then I must be in that way with you. And I thank you all, in the light of this gospel, for being such a wonderful support for my life, for my journey, because you have indeed affected me. And I thank you. Amen.